from Land Grant Brewing Company, Columbus, Ohio.
Right in front, too.
Just make sure to get a bunch of spittle, like all over the mic.
Yeah, I'm good at that.
Oh, that's good.
Did you like that? Were you recording that one?
Yeah.
Land Grant Brewing presents Land Grant University Beers with the Brewers.
This is the Urban Sombrero. I put it on the last catalog cover.
Welcome to this week's episode. We're going to be talking about Urban Sombrero, our Mexican lager. This is a easy drinking, approachable, balanced beer with a clean finish. Suggested food pairings. We're going to say food truck style tacos. You can have onion and cilantro on those. And maybe a authentic, spicy Mexican chili. So maybe a taco and a chili with this beer. This week, we're recording down in the Kickstarter room here at Land Grant Brewing Company. So with me across the table is Justin Reich from the brew team.
What up?
Next to me is the birthday boy himself, William Mark Richards.
Yeah.
His last year in a certain decade.
Old man Richards.
Oh, 29 this year.
And then the dulcet tones of Mr. Michael Walton Keys.
Hello.
Hello.
Seinfeld reference la, la, for you guys.
As always, Julie here helping out, grabbing beers, keeping us on track. And Colin from the tap room, one of your favorite bartenders, is here listening in as well. So upcoming events here at Land Grant, we have next Wednesday a beer and hot sauce event that is going to be on April 3rd.
So next Wednesday, yeah, we're doing a us and Columbus Soup are teaming up for an awesome event called Get Sauced for Soup. It's actually Wednesday, April 4th from 4 to 10. Kay Johns has been working on a hot pepper beer with us, so we're actually going to be premiering that at that event. It is a Serrano Lime rendition of our Urban Sombrero.
Whoa.
And it's amazing, so come out and check that out.
That sounds hot.
All right, so upcoming events also at Land Grant on April 21st, we have our Sun Grant Sustainability Fair on May 13th, we announced this last episode during the Quadrahopic episode. We're going to have our second LGU class, Hops 101. Get your tickets now. Go to landgrantbrewing.com/LGU for more information. Tickets are super limited. We're going to be closing down the tap room for that event, so it's going to be on a Sunday, so look out for that. And then on May 19th, I think we're all super excited. I know Julie is waiting with bated breath for the Royal Pool Party, where we will be watching the Royal Wedding. It is also the FA Cup that day that we will have on, and pool party will be returning, so we are all very excited about that.
Did we end up getting that giant inflatable unicorn yet?
We're working on it.
I think we're working on it.
Okay. There's going to be a lot of goofy stuff that day, as well as a lot of excellent live music and Pilsner.
If you haven't been down to the tap room in a while, the brewers put up an upcoming beers for the Brewer Series beers. Justin, you want to go through what we have coming out pretty soon?
Oh, yeah. We actually have, I think the next one that we're going to be tapping is a old ale that we've actually aged on a whole bunch of different oak spirals and had the opportunity to taste it the other day. It's actually super, super good. We also have a melon-centric double IPA with whole melon in El Dorado hops, and then a Grotzer smoked wheat, and the other day we actually just brewed a Norwegian IPA for an Earth Day event later down the road.
What is a Norwegian IPA?
I think there was trees in it.
No, we actually had juniper branches at the bottom of the mash tun, and the whole brewery smelled like a Christmas tree, so I'm really looking forward to trying that one out. It smelled awesome.
Yeah, and to that fact, we actually just launched a page on the website, landgrantbrewing.com/brewers-series. So if you come in and try one of our new Brewers Series limited edition beers, pilot badges, we're looking for your feedback. Try those beers. Let us know what you think.
All right. With that, let's go into a little history on Mexican lagers.
All right. Mexican lager. One of the interesting things with a Mexican lager, even though you see a decent amount of them in your local grocery store, it is not actually a recognized style according to the BJCP, which to me was interesting. So the closest thing is actually going to be a Vienna lager. So I'm going to walk through some of just the bullet points of a Vienna lager. Generally, they are about 4.7 to 5.5 ABV, about 18 to 30 IBUs. So pretty standard for lagers, a little easier drinking, not too bitter. They generally have soft, elegant malt complexity in the forefront with a firm hop bitterness to provide a balanced finish. Tends to trend towards a rich, toasty character without any significant caramel or roasty flavors. They're generally dry, crisp, can be rich in malt and hop bitterness, and they're a little floral and spicy in the back end with generally using noble hops. So the aroma is moderately to intense malt aroma with toasty and malt rich aromatics. They're generally very, very clean. They're incredibly balanced, and you can find them like normally year-round. I know a lot of breweries have them year-round at this point. So some of the commercial examples of just your standard Vienna lager are Great Lakes Elliott Ness and Devil's Backbones Vienna Lager. But we're not talking about Vienna lagers today. We're talking about Mexican lagers, and you'll get the connection here in a bit. But some of the Mexican lagers by craft breweries that you can find around, you can find Oscar Blues Burrito, 21st Amendment's El Sully. Rheingeist has a draft-only one called Burrito. Other ones you've got not craft would be Modelo Especial, Dos Equis, and Corona, I think, are the big ones. So you may be asking yourself why we've been talking about Vienna lagers. So the connection there.
Self, why have we been talking about Vienna lagers?
Oh. What is the connection?
What's the deal with Vienna lagers?
All right. So in the early 16th century, there was a little bit of brewing going on in Mexico, but it really didn't blossom. Their industry didn't blossom until probably about the end of the 19th century, when German immigrants actually moved into Mexico and began brewing their famed Vienna lager. So some examples of that that you can see in today's market, or like Mexican lagers with that Vienna lager kind of tradition, are Dos Equis Amber and Negro Modelo. Those are probably the two most prominent ones. Also Victoria. I don't even know. Is Victoria even available in Columbus? I don't think I've seen it around. I haven't seen it in a while.
Not sure.
Who knows? But no, in the early 1900s, beer actually became a really big business down in Mexico, mostly because Prohibition. So people weren't allowed to drink beer in the United States, so a lot of Americans were actually crossing the border into Mexico to drink. And around that time, there became a shift in the style of a Mexican lager, where it shifted from more along the lines of a Vienna lager, with that like deep amber, kind of slightly caramelly, a little bit nutty character, shifted more towards the adjunct lagers that we are now accustomed to thinking of, a Mexican lager like a Corona. So much like the American beer industry, competition quickly began to consolidate the Mexican beer industry, and the big brewers began to buy out all the small ones. So you've got Grupo Modelo that owns Corona and Modelo, and then you have a group called FEMSA, which owns Tecate, Sol, and Dos Equis. So they started buying up all these small competitors that were brewing varying types of this beer, and now they have all been consolidated into these giant conglomerates, pretty much, that are brewing these corn-laden, big, easy-drinking beers. Like I said, many of these breweries began utilizing adjuncts, mostly corn, because there's a whole bunch of maíz in Mexico. Thank you.
Very good with that Spanglish.
Oh, yeah.
That was good.
I was one class away from getting a Spanish minor at The Ohio State University.
Oh, está bien.
Ah, sí, sí.
But no, well, you can hit the SAP button on your podcast app, and this episode will be in Spanish.
Is that real?
No.
That's a thing?
Yeah, yeah. They're gonna
do that.
Well, you and I are going to dub over it later.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm looking forward to that recording session.
It's a great idea.
¿Dónde está la cerveza?
Aquí. They started shifting away from the Vienna lager style, and now they're kind of their own. They're their own. I want to say they're their own style, but really it's like a mixture between a Pilsner, a Vienna lager, and an American adjunct lager at this point, which is one of the reasons why Mexican lager is not a style, because there are so many variations out there, and there's no strict guideline of how to make one.
Yeah, in reality, you could say like an American lager, thinking you're referring to Bud Light or Budweiser, but a Yingling or,
right,
you know, amber lagers, and those would fall into that as well, which is, I think, what you see.
Yep.
South of the border as well.
And one of the interesting things about it is the popularity of Mexican lagers a couple years ago actually led to a whole bunch of, like, Miller and Budweiser both put out, Bud Light Lime, and then was it Miller Chill, I think?
Yeah, and there was Land Shark was which one of those that was out.
Owned by Jimmy Buffett, I believe, right? He's got say in that. Yeah, the reason for the lime edition, though, as I'm sure some of you guys know, most Mexican lagers are actually found in clear bottles. And when sun hits said clear bottles, the UV rays actually do something to the hop oils, which create this skunky-like flavor. Most Mexican beers recommend putting a lime in them because it masks that off skunky flavor.
I thought it was to keep the flies out, Justin.
Oh, no, that is not the case.
Well, yeah, you
thought it was a scurvy thing.
Shove a lime in there, get on a catamaran.
Yeah.
Perfect.
One good thing about Urban Sombrero, though, in a can, you don't need a lime for it.
Don't need a lime.
How exciting is that? Speaking of Urban Sombrero, can we talk about that?
Why would we not?
Yeah, that's what we're here for, right? Let's not talk about Corona anymore.
Yeah, I'd say we're here for that.
All right. So, start running.
Yep. Oh,
Adam.
Soundboard's going.
What's the deal with that?
All right, I'm going to walk down some of the stats for Urban Sombrero here. Urban Sombrero comes in at about 5.7 ABV. 18 IBUs. We utilize Liberty hops in this beer, as well as Pilsner, Gold Pils Vienna, and flaked corn. 150 pounds of it per batch, actually. I think, speaking as the brewer on the Beers with Brewers podcast, I think the reason the brew team was excited to brew this beer for the first time, I guess we brewed it for the first time last year, the main reason we were excited was we hadn't really had a turn at an adjunct lager yet, and I know specifically Brewer Chris is a diehard fan of adjunct lagers.
Yeah, we talked about that on the 97.1 The Beer episode. His affinity for those styles of beers, definitely right up his alley.
Yeah, we actually needed a yeast starter last year for Pool Party. We needed to ramp up a pitch of yeast so we could brew a big batch of our Southern Hemisphere Pilsner. The timing worked out perfectly that we could have a beer out for Cinco de Mayo, so why the heck wouldn't you brew a Mexican lager and throw a whole bunch of corn into it, which is exactly what we did, and I think it turned out delicious.
Yes, yeah, and we talked about it last week too, when how we come up with new beers and different things, and this is kind of one of those that we're all big Seinfeld fans around here, and that kind of came to me, and I think
if I remember correctly, I believe you were on a trip of some kind. You get all these ideas while you're on some sort of road trip, I feel like.
Yeah, I think he was
You texted me about doing a Mexican lager called Urban Sombrero, and I was shocked to find out that someone else hadn't already done that idea, and it was a no-brainer from a branding and naming standpoint.
The other Seinfeld reference being Son of a Mutter, when Kramer was going to the off-trip bedding and got a tip on the subway that his father was a mutter, his mutter was a mutter, so this is Son of a Mutter, and it is our brown ale, which is a good horse racing beer, which coincidentally this year, Cinco de Mayo is the same day as the Kentucky Derby, which we usually, we do different variations. We do mint julep mutter, where this year we can have a double Seinfeld with the Urban Sombrero on that day.
Pressure's on. Now I got to start thinking of creative things to put on the board for the Derby.
Indeed. Yeah, and also plays in nicely with, you know, the tradition of wearing large and goofy hats to the Derby. You know, why not wear your Urban Sombrero or similar hat to the tap room and watch the Derby with us here?
Adam, Walt was saying that you learned about the idea for this beer while traveling, and then also the idea for the Urban Sombrero came up with 6 weeks of Elaine traveling through Mexico, all on Peterman's peso.
Yeah, when Jay Peterman had to go to Burma, or as you may know, Myanmar, to go find himself. Is that why? You know this one reason, right?
I do.
Do you recall? I just remember he was on leave. For a while.
He was on leave. He was having a nervous breakdown. He actually had a gargantuan monkey fist in his neck, is what he said. The pain was like he walked out and turned the catalog over to Elaine, much to his chagrin later in the episode.
It really encapsulates. This is one of those fun ones that we had the name, and we can create a beer off of that as well. All right.
I guess we can talk more about the beer if we want to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we talked about the name inspiration. I think the beer itself, the inspiration, we wanted to take a blend of that old world, like Vienna Mexican lager, and bring it in a marriage with a more modern Mexican lagers that you can find on the market right now. So we actually took Pilsner malt as the, I guess you'd say main base, but we used two base malts in this beer. We used Pilsner malt and Gold Pils Vienna, which is a lighter form of the Vienna malt that you would find in your standard Vienna lagers. And then we used a whole bunch of corn, like we've kind of talked about a little bit. It's a, you get a lot of corn in this beer, and I think that is awesome.
Spirit of old Mexico with a little big city panache, would you say?
I would say that really encapsulates this beer well. How crushable would you say it is, Walt?
Quattro
on the crushability scale. So
we're doing out of six?
Out of seis, yeah.
I'm going to go 5.5 or 5.5.
Media
is half?
I believe
so. Did you look that up earlier?
No.
You know, I'm the one who was like toting Spanish my minor? Spanish knowledge. I said, not quite Spanish mine. I would have learned that probably in that last class.
Yeah.
To get my Spanish minor. That's probably why I didn't know that one.
So you're gonna have a half in your six pack even.
Well, I'm gonna save one for my girlfriend. Half of one.
She's gonna drink the 6 ounces after you drink the 6 ounces.
Well, I'm gonna pour it into a cup.
Yeah. How about you, Mark? How crushable would you say this beer is?
I'm gonna go Cinco on this, and then I would take a siesta.
Ah.
Oh. See. Old man Richards taking naps.
I'd also go with 5 on this beer, I think, and then save. I liked Dan's idea to save that one for breakfast, maybe with some huevos rancheros.
Ooh.
Or chilaquiles.
See?
Sounds delicious.
Or a breakfast burrito.
Yeah. Any of these foods.
I've never heard of that.
Any of these foods.
Or maybe a taco or some chili.
Chili.
You know, some breakfast chili.
So if you were here at the taproom at Langren,
scrambled eggs.
What would you get from Ray Ray's Hog Pit with this beer?
Well, that's a great question. Fries. Fries would be good.
I'm going to say pretty much anything at Ray Ray's Hog Pit. Like, honestly, this is, it's kind of like you look at something like a Sam Adams Boston Lager or just like any general craft lager pairs with almost any food. This beer is perfect for that. You can really drink it with anything. So
yeah, yes. I'll put a plug in for Sunnyside Tacos as well. They're coming back to the tap room on Monday. Now that Euchre League has come to a close, Sunnyside Tacos will be back here on Monday, and it would pair well with just about anything they make.
Speaking of Euchre, a big congratulations goes out to Couples Therapy, who were the Euchre champions of the 2018 Land-Grant Euchre Tournament. If you're not familiar, on Monday nights we play Euchre here at the Tap Room. We had, I think, 33 teams in the tournament, Mark. Is that accurate?
Sounds right.
Yeah, 33 teams. They, I think, came from the 14th or 15th seed.
Yeah, and not the A team, won the entire 10-week series.
The regular season.
Yep. Yeah, regular season, not the A team, and then Couples Therapy with the big tournament win.
So congratulations out to them.
Yeah, congrats. It was a great time.
We're going to miss Euchre on Monday nights.
And if anybody just wants to come hang out and play Euchre any night of the week, go for it.
Lots of Euchre decks behind the bar.
Oh, yeah.
And Euchre League will be back in January of 2019.
Going through kind of the specs on this beer, I think you already mentioned the alcohol, Justin, but appearance-wise, as we're looking at it, really bright, crystal clear.
Indeed. Gold.
Would you dare say it's clear pale to deep gold?
Go with, it could be deep gold.
It's an in-between.
It's got a really nice color. It's not a straw or lighter that you get with a lot of lighter lagers. It's got some good goldenness to it. Matches the color on the can.
Oh, it does.
Yeah, sure does.
With the aroma of the beer, you get a big, like, sweet, grainy, almost like corn-like aroma right up front. And that's actually paired with those Liberty hops, which offer a very spicy, almost noble hop-like quality to the beer as well, which is similar to the flavor. Flavor's also up front. At first taste, you think it's going to be a little sweet, but then that that little bite comes in right at the end and makes it an incredibly easy drinking and balanced beer.
I would agree.
Thank you. It's a low to medium body. It's not going to be as light as like a Corona. The crisp carbonation, as well as that dry finish that you get from the hot bitterness, is that pairs really well, making it a perfect companion for your springtime fiesta.
Ooh!
Or if you're just binge watching Seinfeld all the way through,
or you could do that too.
Four words:
Jerry, Elaine, Kramer,
Newman,
George.
Bosco.
Newman's out.
Hello, Jerry.
Hello, Newman.
So who's your favorite Seinfeld character, Walt?
I think you got to give it to Kramer. I mean, he's one of a kind. off the wall, so weird. Truly just, I think, encapsulates the goofiness of Seinfeld perfectly.
You're still master of your domain.
Yes. Yes, I am.
I think you got to have all four. I couldn't even pick a favorite because every week I think, oh, this week, Elaine, there is no way they could do it without Elaine. She is freaking hilarious. And then another week, it could be, like you say, Kramer. Another week, it could be George is saving the day. Another week, the straight man, Jerry, is just tiring it all together. So.
And what is your favorite ancillary character?
Yeah, that's easier.
On Seinfeld.
I mean, Frank Costanza, too.
Yeah.
I mean,
Serenity Now! Serenity Now!
So, Justin is someone that doesn't watch Seinfeld at all.
Diehard fan.
Riveting stuff for you?
He just stuck a rivet into his eye, actually. Just,
I have been...
the torture of this.
I've been staring through the brewery window over these past, like, 20 minutes of talking about Seinfeld, just...
Hoping that we'd skip you.
Hoping I was not brought up.
Jeppy, this is that same glassed over look that I get when you talk about Star Wars.
Exactly.
I mean, everybody's got their thing.
Yeah. I think this was just before my time, unfortunately.
Star Wars was before your time. And way before Seinfeld.
True.
Way before Seinfeld.
I will never understand people.
They're the worst.
What about Banya? Can't say enough good things about Banya.
So,
why do they call it Ovaltine?
Colin is a Kramer of Langer.
The mug is round. The jar is round. They should call it Roundtine.
That's gold.
That's
gold, Jerry.
Gold.
Oh, we got them all.
Stamps.com. I mean, we're waiting for your call.
So that's a good reminder, Walt. This episode is brought to you by Flaked Corn.
Oh, nice.
Do you want to brew an adjunct lager that you don't want to use just brewer's grain? Well, we have a great solution for you. Flaked Corn. Give a little sweetness to your beer.
Nailed it.
All right. Any other thoughts here on Urban Sombrero?
Do we cover our four words?
So, four descriptor words for Urban Sombrero. Easy drinking, approachable, balanced, with a big old clean finish. It's delicious.
Crushability?
Yes.
Yes. So if you do have any questions, shoot us a email or check out landgrantbrewing.com/LGU. Shoot us an email at cheers@landgrantbrewing.com. If your question is read on the podcast, we will send you your very own Land Grant University t-shirt.
We just got an email in.
Oh, we got some?
Someone just said, oh, hey, Justin, how are you doing today? I'm doing great. I woke up a little groggy. Had an egg sandwich for breakfast, though, and I'm doing okay. Thank you for asking.
Did you make that yourself?
No, my mom made it for me, actually.
Yeah, that was nice.
Oh, man.
She's
great.
She's beautiful.
Yeah, so we did get a question that doesn't have anything to do with Urban Sombrero, but actually a couple people asked, since they saw the new 1862 ale can on the shelf, if people have been asking if we have actually changed the recipe or the beer inside the can at all recently.
Oh, that answer would be no. Same old 1862 that we all know and love, but it just needed a little brightening up on the outside, I'd say, a little makeover.
So the liquid in the can, still the same? Just a nice, shiny, white, clean can on the outside. Cool.
Any other closing thoughts?
Happy birthday, Mark.
So, yeah, thank you.
It is Mark and Hajir's birthday here on March 28th as we're recording. We're coming to the close of Land Grant Brewing Company birthday month.
Oh, let's not forget about Phil down the crew.
Oh, it actually is a big shout out to Goldie. It is also his birthday today. We have three March 28th birthdays.
Yeah, we're doing good. What about another birthday? It's coming up in 2 days, Adam.
There is. It's actually 3 days.
My mom's birthday is actually in 2 days.
Oh, she's the 30th.
On the 30th, yeah. Oh. Beth Reich, happy birthday, Mom.
Oh, yeah.
Happy birthday, Mama Justin.
All right. Well, I think we've had our fill of Seinfeld jokes, and I think it's time for another fill of Urban Sombrero. My glass is getting empty, so thank you, everyone, for listening this week. Thanks to Justin, Julie, Walt, Colin, the birthday boy, Mark Richards.
Old man Richards, we're calling him now.
This is Adam signing off here from the Kickstarter room at 424 West Town Street. If you're coming on down to the tap room, make sure to tip your bartenders and cheers.
Yeah. Walt, hit him with the closing song real quick.
Son of a mother. All right, that was
son of a mutter, why?
Why is it raining? You won anyway.